ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, welcome back to Background Briefing. I'm Fanu Filali, the executive producer. Over the past few months, my team has brought you some compelling stories, and this summer, we thought we'd select a few special ones for you. Stories that we couldn't stop thinking about long after they aired. Today, we take you inside a family dispute. You'll meet a psychologist who said she was there to help and who claimed she could manipulate the family court. Her sessions left the parents feeling humiliated and traumatized, and we know this because she was being recorded. Reporter Heidi Davron got her hands on those tapes. Before we start this story, just a warning. This episode mentions issues of family violence and includes disturbing themes and strong language.
Can I just let things out?
Yeah.
What a fucking bitch she is.
This is the voice of a psychologist we're calling Dr. Julie Smith, and she's just stormed into an inner city apartment to see her patient, a man we're calling Jim.
She is a bitch that is impervious to rationality and good sense.
Yeah.
That's the problem with her.
The bitch she's referring to is actually Jim's ex-wife. Dr. Julie's supposedly trying to broker a workable relationship so that both parents can spend time with their teenage son, who we're calling Joseph. Instead, she's mocking them, both Jim's ex-wife and his son. We've had to bleep out mention of Joseph, Jim and his ex-wife, and Dr. Julie as well.
You might get some text messages from about me, no doubt. I've blocked her. You might want to block her.
Right.
I just really laid it out. I go, I can write a report about this, but I will be saying that is completely immature, okay? And so I wasn't very happy with that.
What's got Dr. Julie angry is a decision made by Jim's son, Joseph, to stop therapy sessions with her. It's a decision supported by Joseph's mother, Jim's ex-wife, a woman we're calling Amanda.
She started arguing for him that he doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to, that I obtained his promise under pressure and coercion, just everything. I go, go away, you stupid woman, you really.
Yeah.
This could be little more than an example of a psychologist behaving badly if it weren't for a critical fact. Dr. Julie wields significant power. She's a psychologist. But she's also what's known as a report writer. In Australia's family law system, experts like her are called on to help the court make difficult decisions about where a child should live. Her reports are used by judges when making a final decision. And that means Dr. Julie's opinion is crucial. Before she walked into the apartment that day, Jim had been recording her for months. He'd heard a concerning review about her and he wanted to protect himself and make sure he had an accurate record. What you're about to hear is an unprecedented behind-the-scenes insight into a difficult parenting dispute. Two parents who've agreed to be interviewed despite their differences. Dad.
This process pushed me to the point of finishing everything, suicide. She took me right to the edge.
The psychologist?
Yeah. Yeah, the one that was supposed to help us fix the problem.
And Mum.
This just literally inflamed drama and animosity and fear. So my son and I both felt fearful after that process.
Both united by their anger at Dr. Julie and hoping to expose the harmful conduct of this family court psychologist. I've reported on family court matters for years now. Independent report writers like Dr. Julie do an important but difficult job. They have a duty to the court, and they also have to balance the interests of mum, dad, and any children involved. And for this reason, there are professional standards which set out how they should behave. They're expected to be impartial, fair, and transparent. But this family says that's not what happened here. It's rare to hear both parents speaking out like this, and I wish I could tell you more about Jim and Amanda, but the Family Law Act stops me from giving you any detail that might identify them or their case. And for that reason, we've not only changed their names, but altered their voices, along with the name and voice of Dr. Julie. To understand how they ended up at the mercy of Dr. Julie, let's go back a few years.
We had a really strong, loving relationship.
When Jim and Amanda got together, they both had children from previous relationships, and later they had a child, Joseph.
I did all the dad stuff. I taught him to ride a bike. I taught him to swim. You know, I did the Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and, you know, we went on adventures and camping together and we had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, you know, which, yeah, everything was great.
But Amanda and Jim broke up when Joseph was still a toddler. Amanda says Jim was violent, something he denies.
We had had intervention orders in place and we had police reports and statements, and my ex had been to court over one incident of family violence against me.
Look, there was conflict in our relationship. You know, made lots of allegations of domestic violence. Now, I never bashed, I never hit. Probably pushed her, but that was, you know.
But there was a DVO? There were DVOs taken out?
There was
between
one.
You?
Yep.
Jim was charged with recklessly causing injury to Amanda. She suffered bruising and cuts to her head. He was given a community-based order that required him to perform 100 hours of unpaid work. Their relationship was over. But despite the trauma and the tension, they co-parented Joseph for several years afterwards. It wasn't until Joseph reached his early teens that things really began to unravel.
We had a situation where my son started to refuse to go stay with his father. So that sort of was a push and pull for a while, and then eventually he just flat out refused to go.
Jim tried hard to keep seeing his son, but it wasn't working.
My ex-wife and I couldn't agree on the best way forward, so I looked into mediation and therapies and psychologists.
And that's how he found Dr. Julie.
The therapy that she offered was very appealing. It was, you know, rather than, you know, weekly 1 or 2 hour sessions dragging out over 6 months, I thought that we might be able to achieve an outcome without that length of time passing.
At the time, Jim and Amanda had been communicating via solicitors, but they both agreed to see Dr. Julie in group sessions, hoping she'd help them avoid a lengthy family court case. Amanda remembers speaking to Dr. Julie on the phone.
She seemed more concerned about, helping their relationship and coming into the home and doing some therapy between my son and his father. And that was always my wish, that they could have a nice relationship where they could see each other at times.
In the back of her mind, if the matter did end up in court, Amanda hoped Dr. Julie would report honestly to the court so that her son's voice would be heard. Dr. Julie had an impressive resume, regularly writing reports for the family court, and was highly recommended.
My research on her showed that she was a family court report writer. She seemed to be very well credentialed. Yeah, so the decision was made to go with her.
But from the very first meeting, Jim realised something was odd. Her methods were unusual.
So we're going to do something really different.
Yep.
This recording is from one of their first sessions.
I don't know how much you know about what I do, but you're going to be a little bit shocked. We're not doing conventional therapy here.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'm happy to do anything to shift this anger.
She came to my place to explain the process. She'd already established where the problem lay, and that was with my ex-wife, and that I needed to help her gain her trust, and how that would be achieved would be by my ex-wife and my son sitting with Dr. and myself and airing all their grievances. And my role was to accept that. I was told that I could help if I could cry.
She told you to cry?
Yeah.
Dr. Julie's methods are considered unconventional. She runs targeted group sessions, sometimes in public places, that involve mum, dad and children together. At their sessions, Dr. Julie belittles and ridicules Jim and encourages his son Joseph to do the same. But in her private conversations with Jim, she puts the blame firmly on mum, Amanda, and says it's actually her fault Joseph doesn't want to see his dad. In this recording at their first session, she instructs Jim how to behave during group therapy.
You are not to argue, you're not to do anything. You either sit and listen and look contrite, and then you're going to allow me to make a bit of fun of you for looking contrite. Okay?
Dr. Julie tells Jim she's going to pretend to side with his ex-wife, Amanda.
I'm completely on your side, not on your side. Then I'll say things like, you know, you're only doing this because you want something and you're on your best behaviour today, but we know you don't really believe this. If you cry, I'll tell you off, but that's okay, you can cry. I'd like to tell you off for crying if you could, okay? If you want to, just say it, okay? Because I want to feel a bit of sympathy for you. She is going to be the best mother in the world and you are going to be absolute worst, okay? Because, first of all, it works for the feel a bit sorry for you, so I'm not going to criticise mum anyway.
Right. So at the end of this,
yep.
I'm not seeing how comes around if mum's beliefs are still.
You need to, what you need to do is suspend all your thinking about stuff.
Yep.
Go along for the ride. Let me manage it.
Okay.
Counterintuitive.
I was shocked. It didn't sound like any sort of therapy that I'd ever heard of, and I was 100% sure that it wouldn't be effective. She explained to me that if I didn't play along, I risked corrupting the process. She made no attempt to explain the psychology behind it.
Dr. Julie does offer some explanation. She says she was trying to train Amanda in the same way you might train a dog.
Dog training.
Yep.
Listen to this.
I'm just trying to get it straight.
Okay, all right. So sometimes people get stuck on conventional ideas of therapy. You're supposed to talk about things and then you're supposed to understand it and then you're supposed to have a revelation and we'd hope she has that. She's well beyond that. She can't do it. Right?
Yep.
Right? So dog training. If you want to train a dog well, what you'll do is you'll praise them for moving in the right direction.
Earlier that same day, Dr. Julie had visited Amanda in her home. Soon after she arrived, she zeroed in on Joseph.
She immediately said to my son, you only need one healthy parent and you've got it. So, and it just went from there and I thought, well, you know, you're literally telling my son, you know, you don't need your father and you haven't asked us one question yet. I just felt like, how do you even know I'm a healthy parent? It was a very bold statement to say to a child without any background knowledge yet.
By now, red flags are flying for both Amanda and Jim. Dr. Julie then arranges for all three family members to meet up at a nearby park. It's here that the group therapy begins. When Amanda and Joseph arrive, Dr. Julie's entire demeanour shifts. In front of his ex-wife and his son, she directs her attention to Jim and then starts laying into him.
I don't know what it is about you that makes you think or continue with this and doesn't see where you've gone wrong.
She continues to fire accusations at him for much of that session, and as instructed, Jim doesn't react.
This boy does not want to see you. I think ever again. He doesn't want any relationship with you whatsoever and he wants you to move out.
Under ethical guidelines, psychologists aren't meant to be coercive or demeaning and they certainly aren't supposed to denigrate or harass. During the session, Jim isn't comfortable with what's happening, but he feels he's too far down the road to stop.
By this stage, I'd paid the $15,500. I was in, and I just had to take her word for it.
And Dr. Julie is confident she can achieve miraculous results.
Because I've got qualifications and stuff like that, there's not many people who can go up against me, and I've got a good reputation.
Prior to the therapy with Dr. Julie, Jim signed a contract that stipulated some of the sessions would be in public places and that this might involve breaches of his confidentiality. What the family didn't know was that in 2019, Dr. Julie had already been cautioned against this sort of practice by Australia's medical regulator, APRA, after a mother complained Dr. Julie had taken her to a wine bar for a therapy session. When Amanda and Jim meet again, Dr. Julie doesn't take them to a wine bar. She takes them to a park, a public park, within earshot of any potential passers-by. And what's more, she encourages Amanda to confront Jim.
She instructed me to go through the history of violence to my ex and list all the things that had happened. So it was a really distressing thing to go through.
It's unclear why, but during the session, Dr. Julie stops Jim from admitting to any violence. Amanda is left shaken.
Do you acknowledge that these things happened?
I think he has to be careful in front of me.
No.
I know, and if you want admissions, I'm not sure I can force him into that.
But if he's going to continue to lie about the truth of what I went through...
It's not about that. It's
then
about...
Then he's not acknowledging any of it means that he's a really dangerous man.
Yeah, of course.
So then I am worried about safety. Of course I was always worried about the safety with you, but I just kept... The lawyers were saying, oh, no, he's got a right to see his dad.
Dr. Julie should have sought information about existing or past family violence intervention orders. But when Amanda tried to show Dr. Julie documents, including domestic violence orders, she says she wasn't interested.
I myself had said to her, you know, just so you believe me, I would like to show you the police reports and the intervention orders. And she kept saying that she didn't need to see them, and at one point I even got them out and she refused to look at them. So that concerned me.
As the sessions continue, the humiliation becomes too much for Jim, who breaks down in tears several times. During these sessions, Dr. Julie instructs Jim's son Joseph not to show any sympathy.
Now he's crying. Don't feel sorry for him, okay? Because you know why? He caused all this pain, all right? Don't feel sorry for him, all right? You are the one he should feel sorry for.
What Dr. Julie's doing here and what you're hearing is a bit of a game. By belittling, attacking, humiliating Jim in public, she's trying to get his son Joseph to show some sympathy towards his father. If Joseph does this, Dr. Julie can include that observation in her report in Jim's favour. Not long after the park, the family meets again, this time at a busy shopping centre. It's just before Christmas, in the middle of the food court. Jim, Amanda, Joseph and Dr. Julie are all there.
Yeah, that was absolutely staggering that we were in a busy pre-Christmas shopping centre food court. Barely a spare table. Tables all tied up against each other, and my son and Dr. and myself, and sometimes discussing really personal subjects that were, brought me to tears, certainly brought my son to tears, to the point where there was, interest from several other tables as to what was going on at our table. It was just so obvious that something was terribly wrong.
Right. So other people were they looking or commenting?
People were clearly noticing that there was something tremendously uncomfortable happening, and people at the next table could certainly hear probably most of what was being said, and people at other tables a bit further afield could clearly see.
And I have to ask, in that first meeting you said she asked you to fake cry. Were you genuinely crying in the food court on that occasion?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, there was no need for her. I was definitely very upset and to the point of crying, yeah.
When Amanda and Joseph leave the shopping centre, Jim's still recording. The recording captures Jim questioning Dr. Julie about her methodology.
What really concerns me now, especially, is that all that's happened out of this, that everything, all the lies and manipulative stuff that they've said about me have all been reinforced by you in this.
Oh, my God, you've got a simplistic understanding of psychology.
As part of the process, Dr. Julie asks the parents to take a psychometric test, but they do so under very different circumstances. Amanda says she's put under pressure to complete her test quickly.
We had a short amount of time left, and she'd said, right, you need to do this psychometric test. I'm in a hurry. And she sort of just sat me down. I wasn't expecting it, and said, go for it. And kept sort of puffing and, you know, I've got to go.
While Jim says he's emailed the test and is able to fill it out remotely with no time restrictions. When the results come back, Amanda says the test shows she has a range of personality issues, problems with decision-making, and that she suffers from paranoia. In this recording, Dr. Julie tells Jim she'll use Amanda's poor results against her.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to her about the results of the PAI and that she's bloody paranoid and see if I can just smash my way through that way, okay? It's probably going to be a pretty robust session with them.
As the sessions with Dr. Julie continue, it becomes clear to both parents that the therapy isn't working. Emotions are running high. Jim is increasingly frustrated. Amanda's confused and re-traumatised, and Joseph's barely communicating during sessions. And it's at this point that Dr. Julie encourages Jim to take Amanda to court. This is the thing both parents have been trying to avoid, but Dr. Julie says if Jim goes down this route, he'll have an ace up his sleeve because her report will be in his favour.
Do you have the will to go to court? Because I can get you a strong report of all the information that I've got.
Yeah. As far as court goes, I mean, yeah, I have the will. But, you know, it's a balancing act with, you know, his age and the likelihood of getting an outcome.
Like, I can write up every single thing and that will be very critical of...
What Dr. Julie does next might not seem like a big deal, but if you're an expert witness, it can be serious. During her conversation with Jim, she strays into offering advice about his legal strategy.
The change of residence case. Your argument is this. Is so fucked that has to come and live with me to save him for the rest of his childhood. You see? It's got to be emotional abuse that is emotionally abusing, okay? She will not let him see me, and what she's doing at home is emotionally abusive. I need to have live with me. That has to be your thing, because you weaken your argument if you go, I really want to see my son, won't let me, I just want to see him every second weekend. Yeah. You see what I mean?
Dr. Julie advises Jim to lodge his court application before she writes her family report, so that she can file it directly into the court case and, in her words, drop a bomb. In one recording, Dr. Julie even admits she spoke with Amanda's solicitor without Amanda's knowledge or consent. And in those conversations, she tries to convince the solicitor that Amanda is not rational.
Look, I spoke quite freely with her lawyer, who I know from other cases. It was a bit of a risk because I thought, look, her duty is actually not to me or you or it's to
Sure.
So I took a bit of a risk, but I spoke really freely to her. I don't expect that relationship to last very long.
These sorts of communications between solicitors and expert witnesses are discouraged under the court's standards of practice. Jim says he didn't realise there was a problem with what Dr. Julie was doing.
She made it quite clear that she had relationships throughout the family court, from all the family law solicitors through judges, and everyone involved in the process knew her. And she absolutely made it known that she was a person of influence in the family court process.
At the final therapy session, things take a dramatic turn. Joseph refuses to continue the therapy, leaving Dr. Julie enraged.
She literally looked at him and said, "Your father has lawyers, and I am a court reporter, and the judge will listen to what I write. And if you don't see your father today, I will tell the judge that you're not mature enough to make decisions for yourself, and you will go to the custody of your father." And at that point I said, "I have to stop you there. You're threatening my son, and that's not appropriate." And that's when she literally just looked at me and screamed at me. I can't even remember the words. I was so shocked. And yeah, basically screamed at me, you know, and got up and stormed out and slammed the door.
When Dr. Julie sees Jim, she tells him what's happened, denigrating and swearing about Amanda.
And then at the end of it, the final day, here she is swearing about my ex-wife. I'm trying to take it all in, that it's over and I've been trashed to my son, and that was probably the end.
Amanda decides to file a complaint, and Jim later files his own as well.
I don't know if we're being set up for a long court battle to make money in the courts. I don't know why she's done this. We've got all these conflicting things going on here. So then I think he realised that's, you know, I've been played, and I'm, you know, then he went ahead and filed a complaint with APRA as well.
Jim says he and Amanda agreed Dr. Julie had harmed their son.
I should make it clear, the report that I got from Dr. at the end of the process was overwhelmingly positive for myself, but the process to get to that point was beyond what anyone should have to go through. My ex-wife was dreadfully unhappy with the process as well. She believes that it was significantly damaging to our son, as do I, so it's one of the few things that we actually agree on.
When we asked about the case, a spokesperson for APRA said they couldn't comment on individual practitioners. The Psychology Board of Australia is also investigating. When approached by Background Briefing, Dr. Julie declined to comment. I'd like to be able to tell you Dr. Julie's real name, but I can't. And that's because the law shields her and all other expert witnesses in family court cases from being identified. But within the court's ranks, some are starting to question the right for expert witnesses to remain anonymous.
I don't believe that they should be afforded that anonymity.
Barrister Brian Kelly has more than 25 years' experience in family law.
I get identified, the judge gets identified. The Section 121 of the Family Law Act makes it an offence to identify a witness. One would have thought that that would be there to protect someone identifying a child or a family member or a party, not people who are paid to come along and give expert evidence at court.
This protection offers expert witnesses like Dr. Julie considerable influence without the accompanying public accountability. It wasn't always this way. They used to be named in court judgments, but over time, that practice stopped. We asked the family court why this occurred. A spokesperson for the court said amendments were brought in 2012, aimed at protecting witnesses and people named in evidence. But when expert witnesses do fall short, the consequences can be horrific. Brian Kelly recalls one case when a psychiatrist admitted under oath to a serious breach of the court guidelines.
There were no ramifications for him. I saw him in other cases for years later. I had that same expert in a case only a few months ago. After having seen that, I didn't have any confidence in any of the reports from him.
That psychiatrist was accused of writing reports which downplayed and dismissed serious accusations of sexual and physical abuse. The reports he wrote helped convince a court to place children with an allegedly abusive parent. And in the care of those parents, it was claimed some children were raped and beaten. Around a dozen complaints were later sent to the Healthcare Complaints Commission and to the Medical Council about the psychiatrist. This is the voice of one parent who made a complaint. We can't reveal her identity and have altered her voice.
So this group put joint letters and then individual letters to those medical regulators, state and federal regulators, and then also sent correspondence to the state and the federal health ministers. So everyone knows, no one can say they don't know.
Those complaints went nowhere, and that psychiatrist is still practicing.
Tonight, when I go to bed, I know that there will be women and children out there who go to sleep terrified at what might happen to them in the night or in the morning. That should not be happening in modern day Australia.
This is the Honourable John Pascoe, who until 2018 was Chief Justice of Australia's Family Court. He fears mums and dads traversing the court system can feel backed into a corner and ultimately agree to arrangements that endanger their children. The family law system is one of the most reviewed jurisdictions in the country, with four different inquiries held in the last 6 years. The most recent specifically looks at the competency and accountability of report writers, like Dr. Julie. John Pascoe believes this is all just tinkering, and the time is right for more comprehensive reform. I asked him about a controversial idea: dissolving the Federal Family Court altogether and handing powers to the states, a key recommendation of the Australian Law Reform Commission inquiry back in 2019.
Something really does need to be done in a serious way to address the gap between the family law system, the criminal law system, and the state child protection systems, because we find that people, I think, fall between the cracks.
Do you think a Royal Commission would address some of these concerns?
Before I retired, I actually called for a Royal Commission, or at least a high-level inquiry. I think we need that because people need to be able to go and give their evidence, their experiences, to an independent body. And more importantly, we need to look at how we can avoid traumatising people caught up in the system.
A family law amendment bill was passed in October this year, which establishes a new power for government to regulate family report writers. The changes to the law are expected to apply from May 2024. But any reform will be too late for Jim and Amanda. Joseph is now a lanky teenager, starting a new school and shooting hoops in his spare time. When I meet him, he's wearing a black jumper and beanie, and he's clearly nervous. He wants to tell his side so other kids don't go through the same thing. And he's talking to me with the consent of both his parents.
I'd been to other, like, psychologists and stuff before, and they never, like, completely, like, bad-mouthed, like, my dad to me, like that. She kind of, like, threatened me with saying she was, like, with the courts and, like, the courts will listen to whatever she says and she'll make me, like, go and live with them.
After Dr. Julie's encouragement, Jim did file a court application seeking more time with Joseph, but he ceased all legal action after he realised it was futile. There was no point, irrespective of what the court said. He'd already lost his son. And he says Dr. Julie was partly to blame.
Yeah, it was probably the hardest thing I've ever experienced in my life, having to be humiliated and broken down in front of my son. Just soul-destroying.
And you blame the expert witness, the psychologist, for that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think that she should continue working as an expert witness or writing family reports?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Background Briefing's sound producers are Lila Schunner and Ingrid Wagner. Sound engineering by Isabella Tropiano. Fact-checking by Ben Sveen. Our supervising producer is Mario Christodoulou. The executive producer is Fanu Falali. And I'm Heidi Davron. You can subscribe to Background Briefing on ABC Listen. Thanks for listening.